Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The standard God sets for us to gain eternal life is very high. So high, there's no way we can ever reach it. That's why He's given a gift to every child of God in which He imparts the very purity He demands. Stay with us as we learn all about this marvelous gift. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a series on the inheritance of the redeemed. Erwin Lutzer comes now to tell us about the gift of righteousness.
This is the second in a series of messages titled The Inheritance of the Redeemed. The blessings that are ours because of our faith in Christ. If you missed the first message, which was on predestination, I encourage you to get a copy of it, to listen to it, because it is very foundational. But today's message also is so extremely critical that I personally think about this gift that I'm going to introduce to you almost every single day. In order to understand the importance of this gift, let me ask you a question. What does God think of you today? Is He happy with you? Is He mad at you? Because you began to read the Bible through this year and you've blown it already. We begin well and then we fail, or you sin this week and you feel somewhat distant from God because life hasn't gone well and you haven't reacted well to it. What's God's opinion of you today? Now, before I introduce you to this gift, I do need to give you a little bit of background, so stay with me, and then once we get to the gift, you're going to understand exactly, and it's going to be as clear as Route 66. You remember, ever since the beginning, God has wanted to communicate with mankind. I mean, we're talking even about the Garden of Eden. And we're speaking about the fact that Adam and Eve sinned, and they used some leaves to try to hide their nakedness, and God says, no, I'm going to give you better clothes. I'm going to give you actually the skin of animals. Where did God get the skin of animals? Well, obviously, He killed some animals. What He wanted to say right from the beginning is that there is no forgiveness, there is no covering of sin without blood, and there is no such thing as a cheap covering. And so after that, He began to connect with Adam and Eve. But everybody knows that those animal skins were not the final covering for sin, by no means. They were only symbolic. And then you get to the time of the tabernacle, and you discover that God had all of those sacrifices that we struggle to understand. And in the tabernacle, there were two compartments, the Holy of Holies and the Holy Place, and how the priest could only go into the holy place on one day a year. And God was saying, I'm everywhere, I exist everywhere, but I especially exist here because I want you to understand my holiness. Because you see, here's the problem that God had. The problem was that He was communicating with mankind who are sinners, and He had to have a way by which that could be done without either compromising His holiness or contaminating Himself. So in the Old Testament, He had fellowship with people. He put their sin away, but not finally. There was no payment for the sin back then. And yet He was connecting with people, and years ago, atheists wrote a tract in which they wanted to make fun of God. And they said, oh, look at the people of the Old Testament with whom God hung out. I mean, you know, you begin with Abraham. Well, Abraham lied, and he's called a friend of God. The argument of the atheist was simply this, that a person is judged by the company he keeps. Jacob was a cheater, and yet he was communicating with God, and God actually had him in the line through which Christ would be eventually born. I mean, you go through the Old Testament. Moses lost his temper and became very angry, and yet Moses had spoken face to face with God as a man speaks with his friend. And then the classic illustration is David, murder and adultery, quote, a man after God's own heart. Oh, really? The atheists were saying, what kind of a God considers these kinds of people as his friends? They had a point. For 4,000 years, there was a scandal that was building, and that was God was forgiving people, and there was no final payment for their sin. There was justice being set aside so that he could connect with them, but there was no way that they could be finally and totally redeemed. And with that background now, I want you to take your Bibles, if you would please, and turn to the third chapter of the book of Romans, Romans chapter 3. And even as I mention the text, I'm glad that there is some rustling throughout the congregation. That means you have a Bible, or you can use the one that is in the seat in front of you. And some of you, of course, there will be no rustling, no noise, because God bless you, you've brought your phone, you've brought your iPad, you've brought your jackhammer, you have everything that you need. No matter what you're using today, I want you to look at the text. Look at the text. Put your finger on the text. In the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul is talking about how all of us are sinners. He begins with the pagans, and everybody says, yeah, for sure they are. Then he goes on to the Jewish people who thought that they were a cut above the pagans, and he proves that they are sinners too. And by the time you get to chapter 3, verse 10, he says, there is none righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. You say, oh yeah, I sought God. Yes, you did. That's why you had to listen to the previous message on predestination, because God sought you. That's why you sought God. Amen. On our own, we would never seek God. And so he goes on through, and what he's basically saying is that we are part of a very corrupt tree. And we try to wear a mask, we try to make it look good, and we sometimes do, quote, good, but at the end of the day, it says in verse 18 that there is no fear of God before their eyes. In other words, we know God is watching and we really don't care what we do. So Paul concludes here in verse 19, now we know whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world, he says, is accountable to God. And everybody comes up guilty. God is so holy, and we are so sinful, that even our good acts are tainted. We help a woman across the street, and we can hardly wait to tell somebody how wonderful we were and what we did that day. And so he concludes for verse 20, chapter 3, by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin. By the works of the law, nobody will be justified. And now Paul goes into one of the most important passages of Scripture. I wish I could comment on it phrase by phrase, but we're going to get to the basic point very quickly here. But now, verse 21, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Thank God it's apart from the law, because through the law, there is no righteousness of God. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there's no distinction. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that is sin, by the way. God's standard is his glory. So how far are we able to shoot with our arrow to see if we can hit the glory of God? And we constantly miss it. I've told you before the story of a man going through a farmyard, noticing on the barn all of these circles, all of these targets, and in the middle of each one, an arrow. So he commended the farmer for being a good marksman. The farmer says, that wasn't done by me. That was done from a boy from the village who isn't that bright, and what he did is he shot arrows into my barn, and then he painted the targets around them. and we aim at the glory of God and we say, I've reached it. The answer is, no, you haven't. You've reached your own target, but not God's. Now notice, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, verse 25, everyone listening to this, you may be here today as a teenager. If you're going to live the Christian life, you are going to need to understand what I'm going to tell you now and in the rest of this message. You'll notice it says in verse 25, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. I'm so excited about this message. I'm stumbling over words today. It's another reason why you ought to have it open in front of you. Whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. Why? This was to show God's righteousness because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time so that he may be just and the justifier of those who believe in Jesus. From infancy, probably, you have been told that Jesus died for sinners, and he did. But that's not the first purpose of the cross. God put forth Jesus, which reminds us of the fact that salvation is of God. God put forth Jesus, why? To declare God's righteousness. Jesus died for sinners. But we must understand that Jesus also died for God. Jesus died for God so that God could be acquitted. He could be set free from the scandal that we've talked about. Having fellowship with Old Testament saints without a final sacrifice. It talks here about the divine forbearance of God. God says, I'm going to save them on credit. I'm going to take their sin, set it aside, have fellowship with them. But a Redeemer is coming who is going to pay their debt as well as the debt of all those who will eventually believe on Jesus. Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and you're listening to a series of messages titled The Inheritance of the Redeemed, Blessings that Belong to All Who Trust in Christ. Last time, the message was about predestination, the gift of predestination. And it's so important that you understand that doctrine so that it will help you to worship better. Yes, it is a doctrine that has mystery, but thank God it leads us to the depths of what Jesus did for us. And now today we've been emphasizing the gift of righteousness, without which we cannot be redeemed. Call a friend. Tell them to listen to Running to Win and be blessed during this series of messages as we stress all that Jesus has done for us.
Today, Erwin Lutzer continued a series on The Inheritance of the Redeemed, Gifts Given to Every Believer in Christ. Next time on Running to Win, why, apart from outside help, none of us can attain eternal life. The Inheritance of the Redeemed is an 8-part series we'd like you to have on CD. We'll send it as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.